Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. Here's what the Bible says. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So I direct your attention to that verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And I've mentioned on Wednesday night, the Sermon on the Mount is the greatest statement of morality there has ever been in the history of the world. And this first part of it, Jesus is telling his followers, his disciples, hey, I'm going to teach you how to be blessed. Now, that word blessed some people think it means happy. And in a sense, it does mean happy, but it means a different kind of happiness than the world knows. It's deep down happiness. It's soul-reaching happiness. It's happiness that reaches down to your bones. It's the kind of happiness the world doesn't know about. It's the joy, unspeakable and full of glory, that the Bible speaks about. Now, I would tell you that very seldom is something worth obtaining that can be obtained directly. Okay, I believe that happiness is a good example of that. Happiness is not something that you can chase after and reach. It's usually a byproduct of other things. Let me give you an example. When the kids were growing up, we had a hound dog named Sherlock. Sam and Chris and Wanda and Clint knows all about the dog because when our house burned down, they sort of adopted him for a while because we didn't have any place to keep. We were living in the condo and we didn't have a place to keep that hound dog. Now, that dog liked to run. He was blind in one eye, and so he sort of ran sideways like this, okay, because he couldn't see out of one eye. And when we lived in Davison, we put an electric fence around our yard. The dog loved to break through the electric fence. I mean, there was animals and all stuff out there, and whenever he saw one, and I had the setting turned up as high as it would go. I mean, it was 10. I turned it up past 10. I mean, I turned it all the way up. And he'd hit that fence, and he'd jerk like that, and then he'd keep going. And then, of course, I had to get out and run after him. I want to tell you, I never caught him. I ran and ran and ran, and it was like he'd stop and look back and say, come on, come on. It was like he was taunting me. It was like he was mocking me. He says, you'll never, ever catch me. Well, believe it or not, I outsmarted that dog. Whenever he got through the electric fence, I didn't chase him. I just went out so he could see me with his one good eye, and I started running in the opposite direction. And that old dog started chasing me. Now, he could catch me, and when he got close, I grabbed him. Said, ha, 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 I got you, buddy. And we went back to the yard. That illustrates, to a large degree, what happiness is all about. You cannot catch happiness by chasing it. You can't. But it comes as a byproduct of other things. In fact, happiness is a lot like Sherlock. It'll look back and say, come on, catch me if you can. And it'll taunt us. And it'll tease us. And it'll mock us. And we'll never catch it. If we want happiness, we have to let happiness catch us. It has to catch us. Now, again, that word blessed in chapter 3 and in other verses there in the first part of chapter 5 is supremely happy. It's ultimately happy. It's deep down happy. It's fully happy. It's happy through and through. Happy down to your bones. And God says, if you want that kind of happiness, I will tell you how to get it. And he gives us several ways to get it here. I'm only going to look at the one thing that he mentions in verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, again, the kingdom of heaven is that place where God reigns. The kingdom of heaven is that place where God rules. The kingdom of heaven was on earth when Jesus was here the first time. It will return when he comes back and sets up his 1,000-year reign. The kingdom of heaven is also heaven, where God lives, because he reigns there. He says, if you want the kingdom of heaven, if you want that blessedness that you can know, that happiness that you can know because you have the kingdom of heaven, then you have to be poor in spirit. Now, notice it doesn't say poor in money. It doesn't say that. The world knows a lot of poverty. There's a lot of people in our world today that are financially poor. The Bible says in the book of James that God compensates the poor of the earth. And he does. God takes care of the poor of the earth. And again, poor is a relative measure. The poor people in America are a lot better off than the poor people in other parts of the world. In other parts of the world, poverty is just tremendous. And poverty, there's not many people. There's some, but there's not many people in the United States that know the poverty that exists in other part of the world. And again, this message is not about how we can get financially rich. Although, I will tell you, the Bible tells us how to do that. In the Bible, it says, in all labor there is profit. And so you want to know how to get rich? Get a job. Spend less than you have. Want what you got. I did some calculation. You know that a person that works at minimum wage for a normal work span will make over $1 million in their lifetime. So everybody has the potential to be a millionaire. The problem is we spend it. We spend it. Sometimes on some things we have to spend it, and other things we choose to spend it. But the Bible, if you find, there's Bible principles for how you can get rich if that's what you're seeking. But I will tell you, there's not many rich people that are happy. I read an interview of a lady. She was worth millions, and somebody asked her, "Are you happy?" And she said, "Well, I will tell you, money does not make me happy. Money gives me more choices than other people, but money doesn't make me happy. In fact, sometimes it makes me unhappy because everybody likes me. And I don't know who really likes me for who I am and who really likes me for my money." She says, "A lot of times I go places and interact with people and they don't know me, and I strike up friendships, and those friendships are more meaningful to me because I know they don't know who I am and they like me for who I am, not because of my money." Poor in spirit. Poor in spirit. Jesus said, "Blessed, happy, deep down happy are the poor in spirit, for those have the kingdom of God." So, poor, that means needy, bankrupt, no way to turn. In spirit, our spirit is that part of us that knows that we need God. That spirit is that part of us that interacts with God. Our spirit is that part of us that helps us understand we need God. And so those that are poor in spirit, those that are needy in their spirit, are blessed, are happy, because theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Happy is that person that knows how much they need God. The kingdom of heaven is available to them. And the more I understand, the bigger my understanding is of how much I need God, the more of the kingdom of heaven I can have. Now, if you're saved this morning, you're on your way to heaven because you've trusted Jesus Christ, you in part know what I'm talking about. Blessed is the man, happy is the man that knows he can't get to heaven without God. Happy is the man that knows that there's nothing in this world, there's nothing that he or she can do to get right with God, but they have to come through Jesus Christ. The most unhappy people in the world today are those that are trying to get right with God some other way. And so they come to God and say, "Here's all my good works. Here's how I live my life. I live a clean, moral life. I try to do good. I treat my neighbor well. I pay my debts. I take care of my family. I'm offering up my goodness to you to restore our relationship, to make me right with you, dear God. Or they offer up their involvement in the church. They say, hey, I'm a member of a church. I attend the church. I come to Sunday school. I come to all the services. I support the church financially. I've been baptized. And I take communion every time the church has to offer. And they offer all that up to God and say, hey, this is everything I've done. That kind of person is not poor in spirit. That kind of person is depending on things that they can do to get right with God. And God says it's not of works, even good works. The Bible says it's not of works, lest any man should boast. The person that gets the kingdom of heaven from a salvation standpoint is that person who says, that person who knows, that person who understands, there's nothing I can do to get right with God. I'm poor in my spirit. There's nothing I can do. There's nothing I can offer up to God. There's no act that I can perform. There's no deed that I can do. And they're poor in spirit. And they come to God and they say, God, without you, without Jesus, I have no hope of getting my sins forgiven. Without Jesus, I have no hope of having that right relationship with you. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, without the shedding of blood is no remission of sins. We sing the song, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious. Bill talked about it in Sunday school. We're not redeemed with corruptible things of the earth like silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Until you get poor enough in spirit that you understand that there's nothing you can do to make yourself right with God, you have no hope for the kingdom of heaven. But when you get poor in spirit enough to say, God, I can't do it without Jesus. There's nothing I can bring not to deserve your salvation. There's nothing I can do to deserve your salvation. I claim the blood of Jesus Christ. When you get that poor enough in spirit, then Jesus said, I'm glad you're there. I'll take you. I'll take you. It's not until we sing. We sing the song sometimes, just as I am without one plea. What's that plea? That thy blood was shed for me. O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Listen, do you know that blessedness that comes by being saved? Do you know that blessedness, that deep down, heartfelt, soul felt, bone felt blessedness throughout your whole being that only comes to a person when they know they belong to God because they've received the Lord Jesus Christ? There's songs written about it. Oh, happy day. Happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. Do you know that kind of blessedness? Do you know that kind of happiness? You can, but you got to be poor in spirit. Poor enough to say, there's nothing. I have nothing. I have nothing to offer. I am poor in my spirit. I have nothing to offer, God, to you to deserve your love, your grace, and your mercy. And God says, I know you don't. That's why I sent my son to die in your place. You take him. You take him, and I'll give you the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of, if you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as your Savior, get poor in spirit. Get poor in spirit. It's not what you can do. It's what Jesus did. It's not what you can accomplish. It's what he accomplished on Calvary's cross. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. But you know what? That verse is not only talking. That verse is not only talking to unsaved people. It's talking to people that are saved. Do you know that you can get more of the kingdom of heaven by continuing to be poor in spirit? Say, preacher, I thought when you got saved, our spirit, it was made right with God. It is. I mean, it was. You are made right with God. But that verse speaks to Christians as well. In fact, the Sermon on the Mount was preached to Christians. It wasn't preached to lost people. There's no gospel. Jesus didn't preach the gospel in the Sermon on the Mount. He was preaching to his disciples. And so he says, hey, blessed are the poor in spirit that are saved. Blessed are the poor in spirit whose sins are forgiven. Blessed are the poor in spirit that are on their way to heaven, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Get poor in spirit. As a Christian, we need to stay poor in spirit. You say, preacher, what do you mean by that? Here's what I mean by it. We need to know that we need God. We need God. And the more and more we realize that we need God, the bigger our need for God gets, the more of the kingdom of heaven that's available to us. And the more of the kingdom of heaven that's available to us, the happier, the blesseder we are. So the things that make me realize that I need God should be welcome in my life. Now, for the most part, those things that make us realize that we need God, for the most part, we don't welcome them into our life. We don't welcome sickness. We don't welcome broken relationships. We don't welcome death. Most of us would say, hey, God, I'd just soon you keep that out of my life. You keep all the hardships and all the trials and all the heartaches out of our life. But in reality, when those things come and they knock at our door, we ought to say, come on in. Come on in. Because as you come into my life, you'll help me to realize more and more how much I need God, how much I need my Father. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul was talking about his thorn in the flesh. And he says, I asked God to take it away. He said, I asked him three times. And I'm sure the Apostle Paul reasoned with God. He said, you take this away. And we don't know what it was. Some think it was the seizures. Some think it was poor eyesight. A lot of people have different opinions, but we don't know exactly what it was. But I'm sure Paul reasoned with God and said, hey, if you take this thing away from me, I could be a better preacher. I could be a better church builder. I could do more of what you want me to do. And three times Paul asked God, please take it away. And three times God said, no, I'm not. And he said unto me, and this is what God said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul went on to say, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. The more we need, the more we see how God can meet that need, the more of the kingdom of heaven we can have. And you know what? Here's the sad thing. We as Christians limit God because we don't acknowledge and we don't know and we don't understand that we need him. That we need him. You go to another man, you go to another person, and you say, I have a need. I have a need. Can you help me meet that need? Now, that person may be willing to help you meet that need, but depending on how much of a need you have, that person may be limited. they may not have everything that you need. They may not have the resources to meet the need that you have in your life. That never happens with God. How much do you need? I tell you, you might be able to help me with a little bit of it, but there's going to be times where you can't help me with any of it because you don't have what I need. You want to know who has everything that I need? My Father in heaven. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. The wealth in every mind, the fullness of the world is his. And whereas you may want to help me, but you can't, I have a heavenly Father who not only wants to help me, but will. That's why in Philippians Paul wrote, "But my God shall supply all my need, all my need, all my need, according to his riches in Christ Jesus." We limit God. We limit God. People say, "How you doing?" We say, "I'm doing good. I got a little bit of money in the bank. All my bills are paid. I have my health. I have a nice place to live. I have a car that runs. I'm good. I'm doing pretty good." But you know what? If that's your attitude, you won't get any more of the kingdom of heaven. God's not looking for people who think they're rich. God's looking for people who know they're poor. God's looking for people who know, regardless, and by the way, everything we have in this world, can disappear just like that. Just like that. It can be gone in just a minute. Our wealth, our health. I mean, look at Job. He had it all. He had wealth. He had a loving family. He had it made. But it disappeared in a second. It disappeared in a second because God wanted him to know how much he needed God. How much do you need God this morning? And again, don't leave this place and say the preacher said I should go out and give everything away so I could be poor and know that I need God. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is don't put your trust in things of this world. You may be living on top of the mountain. Everything may be going right for you. You still need God. And we need to be a people, regardless of what we have, regardless of what we own, regardless of the health that we enjoy, we need to be a people who say, "I need thee, oh, I need thee, every hour, every second, I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee." Doesn't matter what we have. We need to be poor in spirit. We need to know that we need God. And the more we understand, the more we know, the poorer we are in spirit, the more blessed we are. The more blessed we are, the happier. Deep down, bone deep, soul deep, total being deep, however you want to say it. The more that we know that we need God, the more blessed we will be. And the more, listen, the more of the kingdom of heaven we can have. We can have more. Jesus wants to give it more. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you that this little verse, Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, you had Jesus include in his sermon, the first of the Beatitudes. And I think he put it first because it's probably one of the most important ones, to know that we need you, to be poor in spirit. And I pray, Father, every person here would know how much they need you. I pray you wouldn't have to send misfortune, heartache into our life to remind us of how much you need us, of how much we need you. I pray, Father, we would understand that. We would understand that with our total being, that we need God, that we need you. And so I pray for the Christians that are here, but Father, I pray for those that might be here or in the parking lot
those that will hear this later on the computer, I pray that you'd help them see that they are poor in spirit. Those that don't know Christ as their Savior, those that don't have their sins forgiven, those that are still under the condemnation of sin, I pray, Father, you'd help them understand they can't come and offer you anything because there's nothing they have that'll buy your righteousness. There's nothing they have that they can offer to deserve your love. I pray, Father, you'd help them understand that the only hope they have is to come to Christ. And I pray for them. I pray for them this moment. I pray that they would see their sin. I pray that they would see the Savior and that they would come to Jesus. And then, Father, for the many Christians that are here, regardless of what we have or don't have, regardless of the conditions of our life, help us to see, help us to know how much we need you. We do need you every second of every day. Help us to know that. Bless this time of invitation. Father, as we sing, if there's somebody that needs to make a decision, help them to make that decision. Help them to make it. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.